This morning, first of all, open your Bibles over to Isaiah chapter 49. And while you're turning over there, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about some things we've been seeing on the news that really concerns me, and I think probably concerns you, or should concern all of us. I was surprised to realize as I looked at what was going on in Egypt. The Islamic Brotherhood, you know, that's the people that go way back. They follow the Quran. It goes way back to the split between with Abraham and his son Isaac and Ishmael. And that is brother against brother. You know, we are not of those people. They are not Gentiles. We are the Gentiles. We are the Gentile descendants, and we are Gentile people. All of us are. But you look back to over there with the Arabs and the Israelites and the Jews and Jerusalem, the war that's going on between Israel and them constantly, they're brethren. And they're fighting over the one thing there, who God chose. And one claims this group, another claims that group. But the Scripture points out to us in our days that we are the chosen ones. Christians, the Gentile Christians, in Jesus Christ. I want to start in Isaiah 49 and 6, and we're going to look at the fact that Christ was sent to the Gentiles, to the Gentile world, to give them life. Isaiah 49, we'll start here with verse 1. Let's just start with verse 1. Isaiah chapter 49. We'll start reading verse 1. Listen, O owls. The owls are the Gentiles. Listen, O owls, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And this is talking about, this is Jesus Christ, you might say, speaking to the owls of the Gentile world, to us. And he hath made me my mouth like a sharp sword, and in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft, and his quiver hath he hid me. Because he was hidden in Israel, you see, throughout the time. In Genesis 3:15, it prophesied about him. And all throughout the time, it's been mentioned about the Holy One of Israel. And there's where he was hidden. And saith unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have bent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is for the Lord, and my work with my God. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be a servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. So though Israel does not gather to him as they should, yet he's going to be in God, it's going to be his strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to rise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to a servant of rulers, kings, shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel. He shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate places, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places. So we see he sent him, Jesus Christ, the glory, the Holy One of Israel. He is sent to the Gentiles, as he says in verse 6, and to the light unto the Gentiles. And he is a light to us. These words are seemingly spoken, you know, directed to the Son by the Father. But God prepared to implement the ancient promise of the Savior that would bring in the world salvation to us all and to those that are lost, and to restore Israel This would be spiritual Israel. He didn't send him to restore the nation of Israel as a nation, as we tried to do in 1948. We tried and we've made a hole in the world over there for the people of Israel, or the Jews. They're not all of Israel. There were 10 lost tribes that never have been brought back, and only some of the Jews, and we made that little world for them. We took out the people that were there being there, those people that are rebelling today. Funny how it seems they are seemingly sweeping across there, and if you think about it, the sons of Islam and the Muslims world, if you took that whole part and go all the way around the Mediterranean Sea, it would compass the whole thing of what used to be the Roman Empire. It would come all the way around. It looks like it's coming around. You know, those things, we need to be mindful of it, because they are against us. They're against Israel, foremost and first of all, but they're against us. They're against Christians. They would kill everybody that did not believe in their faith, the Islamic faith. As we see the prophecies of Christ, they're made to us. We need to have trust and have our faith in Jesus Christ and keep it there. So our country is in turmoil and trouble and losing faith in Christ, and that's one of the things that makes it scary about what you see going on in the world around us. But we need to really hold on to Jesus and the prophecies about Him and the life of Jesus Christ, being the Savior of the world, being that Messiah, the light unto the Gentiles, a light to us. Even when He was born, it was prophesied by an old prophet concerning Him. Look at Luke chapter 2. We won't turn over to Luke chapter 2, and we begin reading verse 25. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law," they, you know, the time for his circumcision and all that, presenting him into the kingdom, Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of the people of Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. You see, Jesus Christ came a light to the Gentiles. We were in darkness. We did not know God. And God dealt with special people, the people of Israel and the nation of Israel. And the rest of the world did not have the light of God in them. But Jesus came to bring a light to all the world, and especially to the Gentiles that were outside in darkness. He is the Savior and the way for all. And so He's prophesying again here that Jesus is the light. This baby is the light of the world, the light of the Gentiles that's going to shine out into all. We find similar prophecies throughout the Old Testament. We find that all throughout there that Jesus Christ is the one, the child that was to be born. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 42. In Isaiah chapter 42, we're going to get reading here with verse 1. Isaiah is just filled with prophecies concerning him. Isaiah 42 and verse 1. "Behold my servant, whom uphold my elect, and whom my soul delighted. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." So we see he's talking about Jesus Christ. "He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." Do you see? All this points out that he was not a man of war. He was not coming to have a physical battle. But yet he was coming to be victorious. Verse 4, "He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." So all we waited for the law of God that came from Jesus Christ. "Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spreadeth forth the earth and which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. Now the Lord has called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, to them that sit in darkness of the prison house. So you see, he opened the eyes of all of us who could not see, so that we could see the salvation in God and the salvation of Jesus Christ. And we could see God and recognize and realize the ways of God. And he says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth, I tell you. So he's telling them before it comes to happen that there's going to be a new thing, a new covenant that's coming forth. That's what Jesus Christ brought. The old covenant that was only with Israel was done away. We have a new covenant that encompasses us, the Gentiles. And so, how happy we should be. Verse 10 says, sing of the Lord a new song. His praises from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. You see, again he brings out the isles. He's talking about us. Now we should surely sing praises and be thankful and praise God for our Savior Jesus Christ. He brought to us the message of God. He brought to us the secrets of God. And he brought to us the life that we could see and walk in it and have salvation and have life and life eternal. Look at Isaiah chapter 60 now. Isaiah chapter 60, we're going to start here in verse number 1. He says in Isaiah 60 and 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And so the Lord was coming to Israel and coming upon Israel, and they were going to be in darkness. But the Lord was going to bring light, and he was the glory that was going to come upon them. And the Gentiles shall come to that light, to thy light, and the kings to that brightness of thy rising. You think about when Christ was born, the little baby, the wise men, Gentiles from the east, they came to him there, and that to the light that was shining. Verse 4, lift up thine eyes around thee and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee, for thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And so all the multitudes and the forces of the Gentiles have come to Christ and in God, and there is the force and the strength of this holy nation, of this special people that are called of God from the Gentiles. Paul uses this truth of this preaching about how that God sent the gospel light unto the Gentiles as he's speaking to the Jews, how they rejected him. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, we'll begin reading verse 45. Verse 45, he says, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. When Jews hear the preaching of Christ today, they hate it. Those Islamic world, they hear the preachings of Jesus Christ today, they hate it. Just like what these people here did. And they're filled with envy and indignation. Sometimes you look at the world and you wonder, at least I did, I wonder why people always hated the Jews. Because the Jews were God's called people. They were special. And if you think you're a special people with God, the rest of the world is going to hate you. And that's the way it is with Christians today are God's chosen special people. And all the rest of the world is against us in that respect. They hate us. They want to destroy us. And so Paul then tells these Jews here this, right, in verse number 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I set thee a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the world. You know, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And so, yes, we should glorify God. We should be thankful that He's turned and given us the light of Jesus Christ. That we have the opportunity in Christ to have eternal life, to be part of the covenant of God. In Acts 26 and 23, it says that Christ should suffer, that it should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Before Christ came, we were in darkness. We were people that did not know God. But today, the Gentiles of the world, we know God through Jesus Christ. And by this, we are a special people of God, and we're a special covenant with God. And we have the light of God. In John 8 and 12, Jesus, He spoke and He said, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus Christ is surely that light. If we come to Christ and walk in His light, we'll have light. We won't be in the darkness. We'll understand how the people are to live and to get along and love one another, and how to live to be pleasing to God, and how we are to be a chosen royal priesthood in Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus is surely that light. He is the Messiah, the Prince, and the Emmanuel of God. And that is spoken over and over in the Old Testament, and we need to look to Him. Look over in Daniel chapter 9, a prophecy concerning Him. Daniel 9, we'll start reading verse 24. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. I once read this to a Jewish lady, and once she read this, she turned to tears and said, that's already happened. I said, that's my poem. The Messiah has come. Christ is here. The light has been delivered. We start reading verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon the holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore, to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 2 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. And after 2 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself and for the people. Of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and upon for the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the obligation to cease, and for the obligation for the overspread of the abomination he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and determine shall be poured upon the desolate. He's talking about the coming of Christ being cut off and the destruction of Jerusalem. The desolation, the destruction of the Jewish worship in their temple is gone forever. Yes, it's already happened. It's even prophesying about Jesus Christ. That child that was to be born, that was to be the governor, that all Israel was looking for. Turn with Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. When he came, they didn't see him. They didn't recognize him. And that part of the world does not see him even to this day. Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to get reading in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. See, that is who came. Jesus Christ, the Son, is born. He's given to us. He is the Counselor. He is the one that has the government. And we're in that kingdom. Kingdom of the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And he told Peter, he said, and the gates, this giving the keys of the kingdom of heaven and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So you see, the church and the kingdom are one and the same thing. And Christ, He is that King of this kingdom. He is, upon Him is the government. Upon Him is the establishment. He is that counselor. And it says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word into Jacob and it has lighted up on Israel. And so, then all the people shall know. But they didn't see and they didn't understand. Also in Isaiah 6 and verse 8 through 10 it says, so I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell to this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their eyes heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted, and be healed. See, Christ came, but God put a veil over their eyes. They couldn't see. They saw it, but they couldn't see that it was the Messiah that had been prophesied over and over and over again in the Old Testament. They heard Him speak, but they couldn't understand that these were the words of life. They saw and they heard, but they didn't understand in their heart and they were not converted. You know, Jesus said that of them over and over again. They see and they see not. They hear and they hear not. And He said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath eyes to see, let him see. Let him see and hear and understand. Then they were given signs after signs. Christ was a sign to them. All the suffering that He went through was a sign to them, as we read about it in Isaiah. But look in Isaiah 28. The tongues that were given were a sign to them. Isaiah 28, verse 9 through 14. Even after Christ had been crucified, resurrected, still they did not want to believe. And these tongues that were given were a sign to Israel. Isaiah chapter 28. We want to begin reading verse 9. He says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make understanding, understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line upon line, here a little and there a little. That's how it's given about Christ in the Old Testament. There's precept here and precept there. There's a little prophecy here, a little prophecy there. Line upon line, line upon line. Then he says, and verse number 11. Well, let me read verse 10. For precept must be on precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. You know, the tongues that were given proved to the people that Peter went to that Cornelius and his family was to be accepted. They were a sign to the Jews that the Messiah had came and that this was from God and this they should hear and look and believe and accept Him. But even today, many close their eyes. And we have to be careful that we don't fall in the same trap that we don't hear. You know, we hear but we don't hear. We see and we don't see and we don't understand and we're not converted. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. All these things are written in the Old Testament. They're fulfilled in the New Testament to show and to prove to us without any doubt Jesus Christ is that Messiah. He came from God, He is of God, and He is God. And He came to save us. Isaiah 53 and verse 1. He says, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no root nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and esteemed, and we esteemed him not. Surely he was borne our grief, carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know, after the Jews looked upon what happened on the day when Christ Jesus was crucified and he went upon that cross, when they look back there in Acts 2, it's no wonder 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel. Because look at the witness and the testimony, and they had to see all the signs that this was truly the Son of God. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with this stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He has brought us the lambs to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so we opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he is cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. When you think about what happened to Christ, if you know these verses, you can see that's him. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering to sin. He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pledge of the Lord shall prosper his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall a righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. It's so evident what he's done for us, especially us, the Gentiles. And we need to call upon him whenever trouble comes, when we have problems of life. If war comes, we need to call upon him and be willing to stand with him, though it may cost us our lives. Isaiah 55, verse 3. He said, incline your ear, come unto me here, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you in the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and unto righteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know, that's what we want in this life. We want to come to God. We want to come to Christ. Hear him. Incline our ears to hear him. And come to him and obey him. Obey him as a king. A king that rules over his kingdom. You know, when a king rules over a kingdom, the king gives decrees. He gives directions. And the subjects, they obey. And that's us. When we obey Christ, we're his subjects. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we keep his commandments, and we love him because he first loved us. He is our king, and he is our salvation. Our salvation is through our obedience to our Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 5:9 said, he being made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him, you know. We obey him by believing. John 8:24, Jesus said, therefore said he, if you believe not that he should die in your sin. So when we believe, we're obeying Christ. And we obey him by repenting of our ways, to turn to be like him, to follow him, not to follow the world. Luke 13:3, he said, I say to you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So we all must repent to follow Christ. And we obey him by confessing faith in him. And we need to do this daily with our lives, all the time, when we get an opportunity to witness and testify about Christ. He said in Matthew 10:32, confess before men, I confess you before my Father which art in heaven. Verse 33 said, deny before men, and I deny you before my Father which art in heaven. And we obey him when we come to be baptized into him. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Galatians 3:27, for many of us have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So you see, we obey him through baptism, and we're put in Christ, and we put on Christ. We're then his subjects, living in his kingdom, and we're obedient to his teaching. We live a faithful life unto Jesus Christ. Revelation 2:10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I give you a crown of life. So we live a life being faithful to him, faithful in assemblies, faithful in worshiping him, faithful in praising him, faithful in praying to God through him, faithfully trusting in Him for our soul salvation and for our life preservation. We'll have heaven as our home. If you're here today and you never obeyed that gospel call, you know His gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the power of God and the salvation. That's what Romans 1:16 says. So the power of God and the salvation to the Jew first, and to also the Greek, which would be Gentiles, which would be us, all the world.